Okay, welcome to the second class in reviving your honeymoon period in your relationship. And this is actually the last slide from last class, but I wanted to highlight it again because this is one of the so important that it is so important for women to appreciate the actions of the men in your life and men to respect the women in your life, and especially to respect her for who she is. And I wanted to give a little story to really explain it. And this is actually a story from John Gray that he taught to explain, you know, why is it that respect is actually even more important to a woman than appreciation? Because most women say, well, I like to be respected. That's true. But let me give you an example. Let's say the man is sitting in his recliner, and he says, oh, honey, would you please go get me the newspaper? Okay, great. Well, back in the days when we had newspapers, right? And so she brings it to, oh, thank you so much, honey. You're the best. Thank you so much. And honey, could you go get me another beer, please? Thank you. And she brings it in. Oh, thank you so much. And honey, could you get me my favorite slippers, please? Okay, honey. And oh, honey, you're the best. Thank you so much. And on and on and on. Well, after a while now, how is the woman going to feel? Disrespected. You see, in that story, it shows that he's appreciating her, but he's not respecting her because he's essentially demanding too much and kind of like a little above board, okay? Or overboard, I guess is the word. So that kind of explains why John Gray actually really chose the word respect as to what's important for a woman. Now, it's also important for women to understand that men don't know this. So they may be saying, hey, you did a great job. Okay, job, actions, you know, your actions were great of some kind. Or just the story, like I said, of the man in the recliner. He's telling her appreciation all the time. But she feels disrespected and that's bad. So now, what's also really, really important is whatever you are, male or female, understand that the other person doesn't know. So men will tend to disrespect and have no clue that they're doing that. It doesn't mean they love you less. They don't know. Vice versa. Women don't appreciate men's actions because they don't know that that's the way to say it. They don't know that men's testosterone is about 20 times what a woman has. And so it affects him so much. All of his actions are, it really affects the man so much. Okay, so the good thing is whatever your gender is, when you know this about yourself, kind of give the other person some slack because they don't realize it. So for example, I had a client was coming to me. Now, he was coming to me for clutter, and his wife would criticize him a lot. Now, if you notice, I'm dealing with one person out of the couple, which we really can make a huge impact when we're dealing with just one person even. It's better with two, but that's okay. Even if we're only dealing with one, we can make a huge impact on a relationship with this knowledge. So what happened was I was actually fairly new in learning about brain chemistry. So I told him I said, look, I'm just learning this information. Could you tell me what it feels like when she criticizes you for cluttering? So remember, that's his actions, right? She's criticizing him for what he is or isn't doing, which in this case happened to be clutter. So he had this really anguished look on his face, and he said, it feels like she's cutting me off at the knees. And I have a fair high empathy, but I could just really feel it, what he was saying. He felt destroyed. And I said to him, because again the wife wasn't there, right? I said, look, you need to know your wife is actually talking to you in a nice way for a woman. Because if she talked to you about who you were, it would be worse for a woman. So she's giving you the nicer way, which is the actions. But I understand it's harder on the man, 20 times harder. I said, but she doesn't know. She doesn't know. And I really got through to him that he thought, because, of course, of the chemistry, that she was trying to destroy him, or that she thought so little of him that, you know, he was this horrendous person type thing. But what it was is the way she was talking about his actions were 20 times worse than what she meant. And when he got that, in this case, actually his anguish got reduced a lot, and he was a much better able to actually declutter. So it actually helped a huge amount, both for their relationship and for the actual situation. He was there to see me. So I just wanted to bring up a little bit about it. I hope you did do your exercises of practicing this. Really practice, because it is so ingrained in us to do the wrong thing. And whatever is going on in your relationship, always practice this. It's not something that you can easily shift, because it's taking me years and I'm still finding myself doing the opposite sometimes. But, you know, I got pretty good. I'm pretty good about it. Okay, so now we're going into new stuff. Okay, now, here is, I'm going to be teaching something that is profound. It has a huge impact on everything. You, on your relationship, on really everything. Now, this is a teaching that was really interesting, and I really liked it. And it actually comes from Buddhism, but I like it, you know, a lot. I'm not Buddhist, but hey, it's cool. Suffering comes from either attachment or avoidance. So you may be attached to how something is supposed to be or not supposed to be, or what you wanted, or anything like that. Or you may be avoiding something. Okay, now the attachment can certainly be attached to how a relationship is supposed to be. Okay, how are things supposed to be? And I learned this a lot in through the divorce, because I ended up realizing that I was very attached, that we were supposed to be married forever. And everything was supposed to be hunky-dory, wonderful, or something like that. And so I was attached to these ideas, but these ideas were hurting me, as because I was attached to them, of how things are supposed to be. Now, one attachment type of thing is we tend to be attached that really people are supposed to be, including ourselves or our partner. And that's an attachment to try to drop, because people are not perfect at all, whatsoever. So, let me jump to the third bullet on my slide, but it says, give the other person 10 things you will forgive, but just keep forgetting which things are part of the 10. And this is a cute story that I had heard. Well, not like a joke, but more or less one of those morals to the story type thing. You know, this woman, they said, you know, she was this old lady, and she had a happy marriage and all that. And they said, what's the secret to your marriage? And she said, well, there's 10 things he does that are, you know, that I always forgive him for doing them or not doing them or whatever. And they said, well, what are they? Well, for example, he did such and such, you know, or he didn't pick up his socks or whatever. That must be one of them. I always forget. And so the concept is, keep on forgiving the other person, because everyone is not, you know, they have failures. No one's perfect. And that was a very interesting one. And there's another thing, like the story, like be like a duck and let the water roll off your back. In other words, let things just kind of, let them go. You know, okay, let's say a husband or, whatever the man in the relationship leaves his socks on the floor. Okay, you have a choice. Do you want to constantly get angry? Well, then you have the chemistry of the anger inside of you, which hurts your body, and you have control over that. Or do you want to keep that anger building up? Because let me give you an interesting research that was done. A man did research on a whole bunch of people who had lived over 100. They were over 100 years old. In fact, one of the people, a woman, was 106 years old, and he could never find time with her because she was so busy. She taught piano lessons, and she did all this kind of stuff. She was a very busy person, and that was really interesting because, you know, she was really busy. Anyway, he found, and this the researchers didn't realize that this is what it was going to be. In other words, they didn't have a preconceived idea. Well, actually they did, but it was wrong. They thought it was going to be that people who didn't have stress. See, stress really hurts our bodies a lot. Okay? In fact, well, there's a whole bunch about that, but it brings on illnesses and all this. It affects our immune system, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So what they thought was it was people not having stress. Well, it turns out that several of these people in their research study who had lived over 100 were Holocaust survivors. They had been in, you know, the in concentration camps. Well, that's huge stress, or could be. Now, stress, part of stress is your reaction to what's going on. So what they found was when the people who lived to over 100 were like a duck and they let the water roll off their back. That's one phrase to say. Or you could also look at it as they just like, oh, well. I mean, I went through being very ill for 8 years and in pain the whole time. I created what I called the oh well technique. And it was like, oh well. You know, it was like, oh well. You know, so it was like, I was in pain. Oh well. I lost everything. Oh well. You know, I ended up owing money to the IRS. Oh well. You know, there was all kinds of things. Luckily, all that got fixed. And so I'm so happy about that. But during the process, that's how I learned to deal with it. And I really held on to these concepts so much. It was very important. So I just wanted to bring that up because these are very important. And I hope some of those stories you can use and keep that. Because here's what's important. Handle your own issues, even if the person is wrong. So if the other person's wrong, I don't care. Handle your own issues no matter what, because this will keep you like a duck so you can let things roll off your back. Okay, so even if the other person is totally wrong and every single person in the world would say, oh yes, that person's wrong, you still have your emotions. And the way to really deal with this is to heal your own issues. Now, one thing I put here is like, don't break up due to anger. And this may seem surprising, but it was wonderful, wonderful piece of information that someone gave me years before I got divorced. And it was phenomenal because that's exactly what happened. And I kept holding on to this and realizing I need to heal my issues. What am I attached to? What am I avoiding? And especially for me, it was attachments. And if you do this, now if you break up due to anger, you will just attract the same type of person and go through the same pattern. So look at the patterns in your life. Look at patterns with relationships. So, for example, if you have a spouse who is abusive, well, guess what? If you break up with this spouse or this boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, the next person you're going to attract is the same thing. And I've seen this over and over again, and it's just people who know how the brain works and how law of attraction works, it's how it works. And people will say, oh, no, of course not, and then they attract the same person anyway. So you just attract the same type of person, just different face. And you haven't healed. Because that's why I said last week that we, part of the reason for relationships is to force us to heal. And it's painful, and it hurts, and all that. But guess what? The faster you heal, the less painful it is. So, for example, when I got divorced, it was amicable. Because I dealt with my issues, and I saw the pattern, and I knew I had to heal my pattern no matter what. No matter with or without him, I had to heal my pattern. And I did. And so therefore, the next people I dated after that did not have the same issue. Because I healed it while I was in the relationship. And the time to split up, if that's the thing to do, if it ever is when you say, you know, I want to live a different life. And you're doing it from no anger or anything else. It's not a reaction. It's just, no, okay, we exactly have nothing in common anymore. We've drifted apart, calm and collected, and, you know, it's just, okay. You see that? Versus, well, I need a divorce because this person's terrible, you know, they're horrible and whatever, you know, that kind of thing. Or I can't stand living this way. Well, that's not the time to divorce because it means, uh-oh, I better heal something. Okay. So, you look for what you need to heal. What are you attracting into your life? Okay. Now, I will also say it is normal to not want to do the healing and just want the other one to change. But if you do the healing, it is very rewarding for you. It is very, very, very rewarding. It is a true blessing because your life will be so much better. So it's wonderful to do this. It's just, you know, at first there's kind of like, well, he or she is doing blah, blah, blah. You know, well, okay, well, you attracted that. So that's the... that's the thorn in your side to force you to heal. And in a way, you can always thank your partner. Thank you very much for being the thorn in my side to force me to heal. Okay. So now the other thing is, because of your anger, and now I'm going to shift a little bit to brain chemistry, that you may be unconsciously triggering the other person. And you may be unconsciously making it worse. Okay, so for example, the whole thing about appreciation. And let me give an example. So let's say we have a woman whose husband is controlling. So he's very, very controlling. Now, if she divorces without healing her issue, she'll continue the pattern with the next relationship. Okay? And so then she'll attract another controlling man. Even if she consciously thinks she isn't, or she meets a new man and she thinks, oh, this guy's better, he's not controlling at all, guess what? It's going to show up later. That's common. Because in the beginning, you're what? In the honeymoon period. So then you're going to still attract that. Okay. So in, let's say in this example, that in the current relationship, she's very angry because he's controlling, she's angry. Now, because I've been teaching you, we tend to give the opposite. We don't realize how our words hurt the other person, even when we don't mean it. Okay? So her anger and words could be triggering him and making everything worse, because then she triggers him, he triggers her, he triggers her, back and forth. Okay, if she were my client, for example, the best thing that I would do with her is to help her heal her anger. Now let's take this situation where the man's controlling and everyone agrees, oh yes, he's way too controlling. Okay, but still she's attracted this into her life. And she has anger, she has frustration, and that's normal and natural and understandable, but it can be healed. And then what happens is, if she learns the brain chemistry sides of this and practices some of it, and guess what? Use it as practice. And even if, whether or not there's going to be a divorce, use it as practice. Because it'll either make this relationship better or the next one. Okay? Either way. So, the gender brain chemistry techniques, again, what is important is to realize that men actually react to women more than we know, more than women understand this. Okay. There's a lot to it, but part of it is that appreciation thing. So I really, really want people to practice that one, appreciation and the respect. And so woman, make sure you never, ever, ever, ever criticize his actions, ever. And I mean ever. And this is like shocking. I know women, because hey, guess what? I'm a woman. I did this. I went through this. I've been doing this for 10 years. And I found it's hard because you have to, I mean, the opposite of how we feel we should be doing things, but you don't criticize any actions and you appreciate all positive actions. And then you think, well, how am I supposed to communicate? You try to learn how to, you learn how to reframe, so you ask for what you want. You never ask for what you don't want. And that's also part of something called NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, where what's important is when you talk about what you don't want, subconsciously what you're dealing with is almost asking for what you don't want. Now here's what I mean. If I were to say, don't think of a blue elephant, what do you immediately think of? A blue elephant. Because that's how your subconscious mind works. It actually can't hear the word no. Now, it can't hear it on both sides. So you're attracting into your life something you don't want by saying the word no. But you're also asking for the person, because their subconscious mind works like this also, you're actually asking for what you don't want. So if you say, don't be controlling, well, okay, two things about this. First off, you asked, in this case, I'm giving a scenario, the woman asked the man to be controlling, okay, because that's how the subconscious mind works. Secondly, that happened, and then also she criticized his actions. Now, remember that criticizing a man's actions is 20 times worse than what it would be for us. At least 20 times worse. Okay, so it's that strong. And that's what I meant when I said last week that we inherently actually end up destroying our men. Inadvertently, we don't know. And men that are on the call and listening to this, please understand, we are not meaning to destroy you. It's just the way the brain chemistry is, okay? You know, thousands of years ago, men and women did not spend so much time together. That's probably part of the reason why. Anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. Okay, now the healing part, there's a lot of techniques on how to heal. My personal preference is hypnosis because I know how powerful and easy and wonderful it is. But there's all kinds of other things. There's energy healing, EFT, prayer. There's a lot. Talk therapy isn't as good. It's a lot slower. There's been research that hypnosis works 14 times faster than talk therapy. I've had good and bad therapists. I've gone to therapy myself. And I had one good therapist and the rest were not good. They were just worthless from my point of view. Okay, doesn't mean so it's everything. You get everything. But it is slower, okay? It is slower, and I can tell you, it's not part of this class, but I can actually tell you how it works in the brain as to why it's slower, and how it can be harder, actually, too, and what's good and bad, in a sense, about it. I've also been to a good marriage counselor, so he was great. You know, why? Because he asked great questions. That was his main skill that was fabulous. Okay, so let's go to the next one. Okay, so the kinds of things to do in your relationship is try to not push the buttons of the other person. Now, I'm going to be teaching more and more about this. Okay, the appreciation respect point is one of the points, but there's going to be more coming in the classes, so you'll have more knowledge of what you're doing to push people's buttons or not. Okay, so don't push the other person's buttons and handle your own triggered emotions. So no one makes you angry. Okay, no one can actually make you be angry. They can say something that triggers anger in you, or do something, whatever, or not say something or not do something that triggers anger in you. But no one makes you angry. So all it is triggering something. Well, getting angry at something, it's triggering something inside of you, and that can be healed. Okay? Now, the beauty of thinking this way, there is a beauty to it. Is it gives you control. It gives you power. You are in charge of your... You learn how to heal them. When you learn or you practice this and do this, you're in control. And it's so much nicer. Oh, it's just... Life is one much, much better. Okay. Now, one of the ways to help with communication skills is, or especially conflict resolution, is what John Gray calls Venus talk and Mars talk. Okay? This is one technique. And it's an email I sent to you right before the class. And anyone listening to this call later on, you will have this. But it's about specifically what I call the feelings purge. I have to be careful with John Gray because it's not, I want to be honor him. I learned so much from him, and I really want this to honor him. So if I do something slightly different, that's why I called it different, because I adapted it from his Venus talk. It's pretty much, part of Venus talk is pretty much the same, but it's slightly adapted, especially with the part where it's with a woman, because he actually teaches especially how to do Venus talk with a man, which is, they're both great. To start with, it's best to do Venus talk with another woman. So woman to woman. Okay. So what a Venus talk is, and so that's what I'm saying, in other words, John Gray's term for it is Venus talk, because of course he's Mars and Venus. And so I'll call it a feelings purge to try to make sure that I'm not encroaching on anything with him. That's why. So you could call it either way. It's fine either way. So what it is where a woman talks preferably, well, to another woman, okay? And now if she does Venus talk with her man, there's a whole bunch of other guidelines I have to give you, and that's not part of today, okay? I'm going to do that later. Okay, now just briefly to tell you what Mars talk is something brief. No, it's a solutions negotiation. There's no emotion. You just analyze and decide on a solution or possible solutions, and that's it. Excuse me. And it's better to be no more than 30 minutes. So what's good about this is these can be terms that you could use together and say, look, let's talk, you know, you could call it a solutions negotiation or whatever, a solutions talk. Or a Mars talk or something like that, is let's do a solutions negotiation. Let's, you know, sit down and try to see if we can create a solution for this. Okay, we're not going to have any emotion. We're just going to analyze and decide if we can find solutions. We'll spend no more than 30 minutes, or pick a number that works, you know, maybe it's 15 minutes, whatever, and see if we can figure out some solutions. Okay? In fact, one thing, it was really fabulous. My boyfriend, early on in our relationship, he said, there was something where I was coming to him. I said, it was something, an issue that really I thought was so important and such a big problem and all that, that it was going to break up our relationship. That's what I thought. So I presented to him. I said, look, you know, this might be a big problem. And he said, well, let's see if we can find a solution. See, matter of fact, that he inherently as a man just did that. Because this is the way, in a sense, it's more of a male way of thinking. It's nothing, doesn't mean women can't do it, okay? I'm not saying that at all. But this is a good thing. They're both good. Now, the reason why Venus talk is wonderful for women is women have 8 times more blood flow through the emotional center of our brain, okay? And that's even with only moderate stress. So even under high stress, it's more. Well, and what happens is we need serotonin to wash over the limbic system, that's the emotional center of the brain, to calm it down. So we use up the serotonin all the time, which is why women have much less serotonin than a man. And also because men make 50% more and they can store 50% more. These are all because we are hunters and gatherers. Our bodies are still built that way. There's very valid reasons for this. And it's in the email that I sent, some of it, a little bit of it. So, because the hunter has to have no emotion when he's waiting for the deer or the whatever, you know, he can't be all riddled with all this emotion, okay? Because it will get in the way of him hunting, okay? Whereas the emotions actually help a woman care about the children and take care of them, take care of the widow next door and things like that. So there's valid reasons for us to, for women to be physiologically more emotional. And even, for example, the sounding the alarm. So the tiger comes into the village and the women scream, okay? The men grab their spear, take off after the tiger, okay? You want the man to be calm. You want the woman to be actually not calm, to scream, to sound the alarm. So there's very, very valid reasons for this. But, so in order for a woman to get more serotonin, to kind of replenish it, one of the reasons is, or one of the reasons is if a woman talks and to someone who is listening, and caring would be helpful, but listening and showing that they're listening, being heard, her serotonin goes up. And so it's a fabulous thing. Like with my boyfriend, what I'll say is, hey, I need to do a Venus talk. And he knows what it is. He gets it. And so he just sits there and listens to me talk. And I just purge about whatever. And then I calm down. Oh, thank you. See, and then there's more to it with the man. With the woman, it's easier because she understands the other side of it. Now, with Venus talk, what's important, whoever the listener is never to think, kind of like, don't listen really to the words. Like, don't assume they're true. They're just feelings. Like, oh my gosh, this happened, and this person did this to me, and it was terrible, and blah, 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 whatever. Just anything. Okay, she's just purging her emotions. And afterwards, it might be, oh, well, she or he, it wasn't really that big, but this is how I felt. It felt big to me. See, the listener has to not say, gosh, you know, that other person did that to you, such a terrible person. No, don't, you have to forget it. Okay, because it's just a feelings purge. Basically, women are like pressure cookers, and these feelings build up like pressure, and we need to purge them. We need to let the pressure off. So whoever the listener is needs to understand that. That's why it's good to have a term that you can use, whether you like Venus talk or feelings purge. And you set it up in advance if possible. And I have the ways to do it with a woman is, I just talked about that. You're allowed to say anything and no judging, because the listener cannot assume it's true or accurate or anything, and it's going to be blown out of proportion anyway. Okay, and best to just forget whatever the person said. And no advice during the purge. No solutions. Nothing. It's basically, oh, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of like showing you're listening and just kind of giving it, oh, okay. Yeah, okay. You know, just kind of something that kind of just lets the person know you're listening. Now, the 10 minutes is not as big of an issue with another woman. because they'll pretty much let you, it'll be kind of like a comfortable time period, whatever it is. So it's not actually that essential, but it's helpful. Because I know I went through a major, major relationship problem years ago, and I had four girlfriends, and I kind of used up their ears. And I felt bad, so I spread it out because I was in such pain. So I'd call up one girlfriend and I'd just purge, you know, and I didn't know about this stuff, okay? So it would have been so much better if I had known it. And I'd purge to her, and then I'd call the next girlfriend, and I'd purge to her, and then I'd say, okay, well, I can't call that other girlfriend. I already did today, yesterday, so I'm going to wait for, you know, talk to this other girlfriend, you know, and I would try to do maybe, let's say, a different girlfriend every day type of thing or whatever, because I didn't want to use it up. It's really helpful to know this technique no matter what. Now, I'll tell you verbally, I have to go through my notes, actually, about the one doing it with a man. But basically, here's what's really, really important. If you choose to have a feelings purge where the man is the listener, women, you need to understand, part of this is extremely difficult for them. Okay, they want to provide a solution, especially if they care about you. And they're wanting to so much provide a solution and jump in. Now, my boyfriend's learned, this is really cool. Of course, we've been together almost 5 years. And so, you know, we kind of have it down pat. And he knows not to give me solutions during it or give advice or anything like that during it. And he knows that the solution is for the woman to talk. And he's seen it so many times that he knows, oh, okay, piece of cake. I just sit here and listen. No problem. It's really easy. And he gets that that's the solution. Okay. But in the beginning, the man needs to know. Now, if it's a woman asking a man, then you need to say, I'd like to do a feelings purge with you. And if this is okay, you don't have to say anything, you don't have to do anything, and you don't have to feel bad. All I need is for you just to listen to me for up to 10 minutes. Is that okay with you? Okay. Now, let's look at this. When you look at another person, especially in the eyes, that's a huge amount of input. The eyes have a huge amount of input. So it lowers dopamine. Now, men don't have enough dopamine to begin with. That's the one that they keep trying to replenish, because the same nutrition that creates dopamine is the same nutrition that creates muscles. And so they use them up because a man is built, he's born with 30% more muscle mass than a woman. Now, if the man works out or does physical anything, he's using it up even faster because the body will give the nutrition to the muscles before they give it to the brain. Okay, so to have a man sit and listen for more than 10 minutes is extremely painful to him and almost impossible because he will stop looking at her. It's really, really hard. And if you think about it, when men are sitting around enjoying time together, guess what they're doing? They're side by side. Because when two men are facing each other, that's almost like a war stance. If you're fighting someone, you're face to face. Okay, but when you're friends, you're side by side when you're men. Now, women are the opposite. When we're together with a girlfriend, well, now we'd rather be facing each other, looking at each other, and and talking about whatever, and just having grand old time talking. What are the guys doing? Sitting side by side, and maybe not talking. Watching TV, watching sports. Okay, see, it's a very different neurology. So to do this Venus talk, or feelings purge with a man, please, women, understand, you're asking him to do something that's very difficult for him because he wants to help you by giving you solutions, and it's hard for him to just sit and listen, and especially face you, because all this is not part of his physiology. So those are the basic bottom line with the men. Okay, so that's why I practice it first with a woman, so woman to woman. Now, if you're a man on this call and your woman is not on this call, or either, doesn't matter if your woman is, fine, you can create this for her. And know that she probably at the end will show appreciation. You could describe this to her, how this works, so that you could say, if you don't mind, after 10 minutes, if you could show appreciation, that would be helpful. You know, it depends on the relationship and all that. But if a woman ever does it and listens to this, you should know always to show appreciation to the man. And I do all, I mean, every single time. You know, even though my boyfriend knows how to do this and all that, you know, it is really hard work on their part, in a sense. I mean, it's easy because they aren't doing anything. So, but it's counterintuitive to their biology. So it's so wonderful. And then they feel really great because they helped you. And they feel, here's an interesting thing, they begin to feel a lot more respect for you, to understand what's going on in a woman's mind. And what usually happens, in John Gray's workshops, he actually will do this as a practice, as an exercise. And he asks men afterwards, how was that for you? And they're blown away. He said, I had no idea that she had so many, things that are affecting her and hurting her. I had no idea how hard it is. And to be able to be there for her is profound. And that's what the guys would basically all say. And I'm even getting choked up because I'm remembering how profound it was for the men. Now, one thing to mention about this also is that it's really important, if it is a woman doing a feelings purge with a man, to the degree possible in the first several months of doing this or whatever it is, but the first bunch of times of doing this, don't include him. Because, or what I've learned how to do is I've learned how to do a safe feelings purge that's safe for both of us, where I might say something like, and I've kind of made it safe for both of us. I say, I just need to get the feelings out. He understands that, okay? So I'm just saying, I'm just letting it out, and this is just my feeling that when you do this, this is how it feels to me. I know it's not what you mean. I know, but it hurts me in this or whatever it is, okay? You know, and I actually consider his feelings at the same time, okay? Because I know that if I'm going to, in a sense, complain about some of his actions, that could be, that's very painful and hurtful to the man. So it's very kind of dicey to include criticism of the man in a feelings purge when the man is one listening, which is why I do it with a girlfriend. But again, make sure that girlfriend knows, hey, you're just purging your feelings and you don't want them to hold on to them, because otherwise what you might have, let's say if I was purging to my sister or something who knows my boyfriend, for example, you know, she could end up, you know, thinking, God, he's terrible. Why don't you break up with him? You know, or something like that. You don't want that. That's why you always talk in advance. Is it okay if I do this? And here's the guidelines of how to do this. And just, you know, I need to be able to blow it out of proportion. Okay, I just need to get it off my chest. And all that's good. And then when people understand of how to be a listener, then they can be supportive and be more helpful in that respect. Okay, so that was fun. That was a fun one. Okay, problem reaction and resolution. Okay, now, when there's a problem, a man typically will want to be alone and work it out himself because this raises his testosterone. He just wants a solution. So testosterone is all about problem solving and being alone, okay? Or, and if you can't fix it, you forget about it, okay? So fix it quickly or forget about it, okay? A man's brain is built to do that, okay? It's a good thing for the man. Now, the woman is built opposite. We just can't forget about the problem. If there's a problem, The problem is it's triggering those emotions, the one that I said it's, you know, 8 times more blood flow through the emotional center of the brain. And if it's a bigger problem, it's more. We don't have research for how many times, but it's a lot more. Okay, so that's why the woman needs to typically vent and talk about it, even if the talking isn't about a solution. Okay, that's why the feelings purge is so wonderful, because it's not about solutions. The solution is for her to get it off her chest. Talking, venting, complaining, commiserating all increase the woman's serotonin, which is what she needs. Okay, when her serotonin is increased, she can begin to find a solution, which is best found also through talking with someone. Now, one thing that's true about a woman's brain is we actually find a solution through talking. And we talk all about all over the place. So if you can think about it as if we're like in a maze or something, we're wandering through the maze as we're talking, well, I could try over here and I could do this. Well, I could go over here and do this, and like all over the place, and we're all over the map. And then, oh, okay, well, now I see what I need to do. I really need to do this. Confounds men. Totally confounds them, because a man's brain doesn't work that way. They are, in a sense, more like, it's kind of like the man's brain goes from A to B and that's it. But we go from A to B, but through C, D, E, F, G, and all over the place, and finally get to B. Okay, that's how a woman's brain thinks. And we actually come to a conclusion that way by talking it out. So if a man is listening, you need to know, let the woman, it'll make you crazy a little bit, but just let her do it, because that's how her brain is wired. But vice versa for the man, his brain is not wired that way. Okay? Now, a man typically has enough serotonin, unless things are really bad, okay, then they can have low serotonin. Like when there's a death in the family or something major, okay, then a man can have low serotonin. But all this talking destroys his dopamine and testosterone. It's not good for him. So if a woman ever says to him, well, let's talk about this, or talk to me, and I'm sorry, I kind of made it sound kind of like it was criticism. It's not. It's what is inherent in a woman to say, let's talk about it, and thinking that's the good thing. And she loves the man, so she says, honey, why don't we talk about it? And the man's testosterone and dopamine crash. Okay, because all he wants to do is be alone. So his testosterone goes up, and to be alone and think about it. The other thing is, typically, of course, since we never, most people don't know the brain chemistry side of it, what men have told me is that, why does she want to put me through such agony? Is she trying to be cruel to me? I say, no. And then I explain the brain chemistry. Okay, but this is what my male clients have told me. And they say, because they feel like the woman's trying to destroy him. And they're like, why is she doing that to me? It's like a knife in my heart. And I say, she doesn't mean that at all. She's just asking for what would help her and what would feel good to her, so she thinks it'll feel good to you. See, so when we know this information, we can really have a better relationship. Okay? So, and vice versa, men usually try to leave a woman alone when she's upset. Well, and it's hard for, anyway, so that all, what you can do is let the man be alone, let the woman talk. Okay, and hopefully the woman should talk to girlfriends. And that will help a lot with relationships. Okay, so that's the end of today's training part. I'm going to switch to Q&A. So anyone can type into the messages, or you can raise your hand. Oh, we already have a raised hand. Let me call on you. Okay, you are now, whatever the word is, available to talk. Okay, and I know actually, do I not?
Can you hear me, Beverly?
Yes, now I can hear you.
Great. Okay. Well, that was a lot of good information and a lot of things I've been doing. I don't necessarily have a question, but I do have a statement about, you know, when like if my husband's upset or, you know, he's going through right now looking for another job and I want to talk about it and he just really doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
So we kind of just sit there and then if we'll talk about something else. But like I said, I didn't really have a question. I'm still trying to take all this in because I noticed a lot of things that you had said is what I've done, mm-hmm. not meaning to do it, but just wanting to talk to find out what, you know, how he feels and all that. So this has been very enlightening.
Oh, thank you. Uh-huh. I know exactly what you say because exactly that was true for me too. Exactly. I've gone through all of this and realizing, oh my God, I'm hurting him.
Yeah.
I have no idea. And then, like I said, when I talk to the man and I'll say, look at the woman who loves you doesn't realize she's hurting you. Does
nope.
not know. And vice versa. You know, it's here, you know, maybe, you know, a woman could be, let's say, going through something difficult. She really needs to talk. And the man walks out the room and it's like, ah, don't you care? Well, he's caring by leaving her alone because that's what uh-huh. he would want.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it happens all the time. And this, today what I taught was really important for how to have a long-term relationship. And we can do it ourselves, even if our partner is not learning any of this.
Okay.
Yeah. So, for example, now you know this. Now, what you could do, for example, is let's say you're feeling something about him looking for a job, whatever it is, you know,
mm-hmm.
fear or whatever, you know, some kind of, any kind of feelings, okay? Any kind of negative feelings, especially. And then you can just call a girlfriend. Make sure he can't hear. Mm-hmm. And do the feelings purge with her. Don't ever.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Or just call in to talk for somebody to listen, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what you can do with your feelings about whatever is going on mm-hmm. about, related to him looking for another job. And then back to the appreciation related to it or about the actions, any action he's taking, you can say things like, wow, you know, honey, I'm so proud of you for taking action on, you know, looking for jobs, and I'm so proud that you're getting out there. See, it's being proud of his actions.
Mm-hmm.
And always focus it on the actions, I mean, positive, of course, for the men.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you can do for him. Because then he'll know you're behind, you've got his back.
Mm-hmm.
He'll know you're supportive of him. It's really hard on a man to, I don't know if he has a job or doesn't have a job, or he's looking for a new one, but he does he have one right now or not?
Yes, they're closing down the company, so.
Oh, okay. Okay. So if he didn't have a job right now, that's extremely difficult on their testosterone. Extremely. Now, in his situation, they closed the company down, so it's not like his fault. He didn't do anything wrong and all
right.
that. So that's good. But it's still, his feelings about having to look for another job
mm-hmm.
are 10 to 20 times worse than yours.
Oh.
Okay? Because his job, remember, men are built to provide and protect.
Mm-hmm.
Protect and to provide is exactly what they're built to do. So providing is having a job. It's a big deal to a man, much bigger than a woman. Well, 10 to 20 times or 30. Okay, so it's basically 20 times harder on him to have to look for a job than it would be on you. Just because his testosterone is taking a beating.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs that testosterone. Plus, it's, you know, 20 times. I mean, that's so huge. So whatever you can do to be supportive of his actions and appreciative,
okay.
He's your hero. That's another thing I haven't taught yet, but a man wants to be a hero. Now, they usually don't say it, but whenever I bring it up, they kind of sometimes sheepishly go, yeah, that'd be kind of cool, you know, kind of like, wow, you know, yeah. Sometimes when you say that to them, they're floored, because just like we tend to destroy each other, unfortunately, not meaning to. The whole culture does, actually. But yeah, if it makes sense to somehow say he's your hero, the word hero, about anything he's doing related to his actions, and it could doesn't have to be related to the job, but anything with his actions of any kind of action, it could mean a lot to him. The only time it doesn't mean a lot to him is if he doesn't have enough self-esteem or confidence, which, by the way, low confidence is low testosterone.
Especially Larry don't have that, so that's for sure.
Okay. So that's the only time where they don't react well, because their confidence is so low that they don't believe it. So, and the other thing is you have to mean it, really. I mean, as much as possible. And so kind of like, reach inside of you, and I know you love your husband a lot. I mean, I can tell, you know. Not that we talk a lot about it, but yeah, I can tell there's a lot there. So kind of find it within yourself emotionally, and then when you tell it to him, it'll knock his socks off. It'll mean everything to them. I remember one guy said it to, because I found it within me how he was my hero. And I said it, and it just blew him away.
So very interesting.
Thanks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other comments, questions, anything else? You or anybody else? There's nobody else in the queue. It's *6 if you're on the phone. I forgot to mention that, or maybe the recording did. So if there's anybody else, if nobody else has comments or questions, as always, people can email me. I am doing some customization of this class to follow the emails. I'm also trying to package it so that it makes sense, too. So if your point that you've emailed me is not totally covered in any given class, I have, there's two more classes. So there's more that I'm planning to help with that. And I also will be telling you a lot of, or everyone, I mean, like what happens after 2 years, and all about dopamine and a lot more about it, of what it, how it affects relationships and all that. So kind of like when you take the whole, all four classes put together, it really is a blueprint to having a very long relationship. And it's working for me. I've tried everything that's in here. I mean, this is all learning that I've used and has really helped me. And I have a fabulous relationship. Of course, it's not perfect. Of course not. even John Gray will say that, his wife pushes his button sometimes, There's still, it's not perfect. But he's, expert at it. So it's all... they certainly have a much better relationship than they would have if he didn't know everything he knows. And her too. They work on theirs. They definitely do. So it's relationships are something to work on for everybody, whether you're an expert or not. And all of this will very, very much help to have a very nice long relationship, whether it be marriage, relationship, or whatever. Okay. If there aren't any more comments and questions, we'll end the class. We're just pretty much on time.
And thanks, Beverly.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.